Hello, my name's Shelley and I'm an addict.
Hi, Shelley.
I'm really, really nervous, as I'm sure you can probably all understand that. I've been really trying to keep this out of my mind for the last week or so, and today it's just been on me, and just as everyone was doing all the readings, and especially as the pot was going round, it was just like the nerves have been building up all day, and it was just getting to a point where I was just thinking, I can't do this. But there's one thing recovery has taught me today, is that I can face my fears and I can do things. And that's been a revelation for me. I've always kind of run away from things. Just always so scared. I used for a long time. I'm not going to go into it too much, but I had quite a bad childhood. I left home when I was very young. Quickly got into drugs and alcohol and loved it from the start. It just kind of gave me the oblivion that I kind of wanted. I've thought a lot about this. It's not even like I had a progression where I, you know, could socially use or socially drink. I just kind of went for it. And I don't know whether that was because of my background or my upbringing, or what it is today that makes me an addict, but I've stopped trying to understand that today. I don't know whether I was born an addict, whether something happened that made me an addict. I accept today that I am an addict. And while I'm not responsible for that, I am responsible for what I do to keep clean and stay clean. And I have to keep on doing that. That's the other really important lesson I've learned, is that, you know, and you hear it all the time, but you know, it's only recently, over the last 6 months or so, it's really sunk in that this is a program of action. You just have to keep on doing this and doing this. I left home when I was very young. A lot of using. Didn't even think that I could exist without some kind of substance or other in my body. Didn't even think it was possible. And only up until the last maybe 4-6 months of my using did I even contemplate that I might even want to stop. And it was just kind of really weird for me. When I first came to meetings, I just kind of took to it like a duck to water. I wanted this. I wanted it really badly. It was such a revelation. The people in these rooms gave me such hope and continue to give me hope today. I also really want to thank, I really want to thank my sponsor and quite a few people sat in this room as well, because they've seen me since my early days and they have supported me and helped me. And it's those people I really kind of look to go, that's where I want to be. You know, I want to have that serenity. I want to have that recovery. I want to be happy and free and joyous. And I'm kind of getting there. And as I've gone through the steps, I've kind of found different levels of that serenity. I think I first started experiencing serenity kind of around my step two, but it wasn't serenity then. It was just more a kind of faith and a hope. But I skipped over step one, and I shouldn't do that. Step one is really, really important, and it's such a foundation of being recovered. Realize that we're powerless. You know, that's such a big word, and I thank people in this room for letting me know what that meant, and also for my sponsor for really, really talking it through with me. And it's a really, really easy basic concept. You know, we are, you know, as an addict, I am without power. We are powerless if we have the disease of addiction, and that's what I have. You know, if I didn't have a higher power in my life like I have now and today, and hopefully I will have tomorrow, just as long as I keep doing what I need to do, eventually I will have no choice to pick up. Because if I had a choice in whether or not I picked up, I wouldn't need to be here. I don't have that choice, but I do have a loving higher power in my life that makes that choice for me, if that kind of makes any sense. And it's a really, really important thing for me to grasp. And the unmanageability of step one. When I came into the rooms, I wasn't homeless, I wasn't injecting, I wasn't on the streets, but inside I was an absolute wreck. I think I'd been around the rooms a couple of months before I realised that a lot of the symptoms I was experiencing before coming into the rooms, I was really turning quite psychotic. And I'm just really, really, you know, I thank God, my higher power, every single day for that. Gratitude list, that's just been such a big one for me. I remember sending my sponsor a text quite a while ago, just saying, "Oh, I'm having a horrible time." And she was just like, "Stop wallowing in self-pity. Do some gratitude lists." And it's like, okay. It wasn't quite that sharp, but she was right. And gratitude. Sorry, I'm just shaking. I'm so nervous. And gratitude lists have, you know, it's something that I do every day, a few times a day, or I always think of something to be thankful for. Sometimes I write them down, sometimes I don't, but I think the important thing is that, you know, if ever I'm feeling down or low, I try and remember what I have to be grateful for in my life, and it's an awful lot. Going back to step one, unmanageability. My feelings, my emotions, that's the most unmanageable thing about me. My thinking is just really warped and twisted, and it's only with kind of sharing that with someone else that I get to see that, and I'm slowly learning how to do that. Step two was really quite easy for me, because from when I first came around in the rooms, that phrase, you know, insanity is repeating the same mistake and expecting different results, that was just something that resonated with me. And you know, I knew that I'd been doing that a long time. I knew I was kind of going around in circles with my life like a headless chicken, and it wasn't working. And step three, that's when I really, really first started that I could actually, you know, I think I text my sponsors like, "I'm actually feeling serene. I don't know how long it's going to last, so I want to kind of mark the occasion." And it lasted a long time. Things were going wrong in my life. Things were bad, but I still kind of had that core. The only time I kind of lost my serenity a bit was, excuse me, quite a few months ago now, and this is where I really learned about you have to keep putting in the action, because I put down my step four because I was going through a bit of a depression spell, and there was loads of outside stuff going on in my life, and I thought, I can't do this, it's too painful. I now know that it was just bullshit, because then after putting down that step four for a couple of months, it just got even worse. And I kind of now, it really reinforced to me that I have to be doing this stuff all the time. I have to keep on working this stuff. Because my actual overall experience of step four and five has been, it's been one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me. Definitely, it wasn't anywhere near as painful. I was just so scared of it, and my fear perpetuated my fear basically fed my disease, and I put it down, and I let that overwhelm me, where I really shouldn't have. You know, real courage means that you face your fears and you work through them anyway. And I made all kinds of excuses to myself why I couldn't get on with it at the time. But then when I started it again, I just started it from scratch again. And it wasn't actually that painful to do. Yeah, there was pain in there. It was hurtful, but it was more, it was more like a healing pain than a kind of pain that hurts in a way. It would kind of hurt a bit, but then it would be relieved and then that would go. And my sponsor was with me step by step throughout doing my step four, and that really helped to know that I had that continual support and that continuous feedback that, you know, that I was doing all right and I was doing it okay. you know, that was, I really, really kind of needed that. And step five was, it was really, really amazing. I laughed, I cried. But most of all, I laughed, and most of all, I just felt this overwhelming sense of relief to be doing it. And after I'd finished it, it's like, and I'm still kind of experiencing a bit, I walk taller. I can kind of look people a bit more in the eye, though I'm still quite shy, self-obsessed in doing that. And also things that I'm facing when I'm kind of starting to observe my defects and things like that. And whereas before I used to know that I had a lot of defects, and when they came out for me, excuse me, they were really, really painful. I kind of feel a bit more detached from them in a way, and it's kind of like, it's okay. Step 4 and 5 also enabled me to have a great deal of compassion, not just for others, but for myself, which I'd never really had before. I'd always been so hard on myself. I wouldn't talk to anybody the way I talk to myself. Or if somebody spoke to me like that, it would just be like, what? And it's really, really helped me not to just force myself to being kind for myself and doing the right things. Thank you, Dave. But to actually just be kind to myself and actually want that. It's given me so much hope. You know, I really feel like something has shifted since I've done it, and it's just been the most amazing experience for me. All of recovery has. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard. Most of the time, even with the pain, it's good, because today I have support, and the support's there if I need it. And often I need it, but I just have to learn how to ask for it more. I'm not so good at kind of reaching out and saying, help, or that I need it. But, you know, I'm not perfect. I haven't had a perfect recovery, but I'm learning. And I think that's one of the most important things, is just to kind of keep on going. I'm not so hard on myself when I'm not perfect anymore. I'm so glad I've only got a few minutes left to speak. It's like this meeting has been so special to me. I've kind of done quite a bit of service here since its very early days. And, you know, I was thinking that was probably the worst thing, to come here and speak in front of people that, you know, who actually know me, because I prefer doing chairs where people don't know me. I kind of find that easier. But then I also thought, today those people love me, they care for me, and they only want the best for me. And that's also what my higher power is about. And just as a last point, you know, my higher power, I have no understanding exactly what it is. I have no labels that I put on it. I thought for a while that to have a higher power in my life, that I had to define it in some way. But for me today, that's not true. I don't have to. I just have to believe that it's there. And somehow that just kind of opens the door, and it's there working for me anyway. And it's really, really hard to put into words how much this program and the people in it have done for me. But I'm really, really happy with things today. I'm really happy in my life. Things are going really, really well. And I just want to thank you all for being there, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.